When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the negative wave of energy that overcame one person in the middle of their workday?
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, become a supporter, we ask. It's called an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get you access to all of our advanced episodes of the show, all of the bonus episodes of the show, brand new ones we put out every single week, jam-packed with our best ghost stories, as well as our archive. You get all of it for only $5 a month. You get that over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program.
We have found dinosaur bones.
Well, that's the only thing I can think that they might be, so I'm going to go with dinosaur bones.
They look exactly like dinosaur bones.
So, you want to tell the story and how we found these bones?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, so the other day, we were just walking around in the river behind our house. You know, it just being a normal day. We walked 2 miles.
Mm-hmm. Took a 2 mile hike up the Illinois River. It's a nice, clear, it's super shallow. You can walk and see everything and make sure you're not going to like run into a snake or anything like that.
Yeah. So we went down this other like area.
Mm-hmm.
You saw lots of tadpoles, lots of other small fish.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw some crayfish, crawfish, other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then we came across several of these bones, fossil bones. And these are not, the only other thing I could say that they could be would be like cow bones. But the thing is, they are petrified. And at the time, as far as the age of these things, I don't think cows existed in this country.
Yeah.
At that time. So
it could possibly even be a woolly mammoth.
It is some petrified bone. Could easily be dinosaur. They're huge. They're very large bones. So yeah, it could be William. I mean, there's a lot of things it could be, but they are clearly bones. You can see the joints. You can see all different things in them, and they're really cool. But we found so many of them in the river that, there was far more. We didn't even pick up all of them that we found, but we're walking down there. So we're like 2 miles downstream. And so we're going with the current and just kind of enjoying our walk. And we start finding these things. It's like, okay, we got enough. And it's like, we're pretty far down the river. It's time for us to turn around and start heading back. So these are bones, but they are petrified. So they are the weight of rocks. And they're fairly large rocks at this point.
They're not even rocks.
Well, but they have the consistency because they're petrified. So
yeah.
They're heavy. So I have like five of them in my arms. And what I mean by in my arms are just outstretched and I'm like holding this big bundle of bones. And Harper's got two in her arms.
And they're freaking big.
And they're big. And we have to now walk upstream because that's the way to get back home. And upstream means you're going against the current. And and it's not like a crazy strong current or anything, but it's enough. You know, if you hit a slippery rock or something, and we're just wearing like tennis shoes, water, you know, old tennis shoes, that, you know, you can easily get thrown off balance, especially when you're trying to carry
bones. Heck, we were like on the side of the thing, mm-hmm. on the side of the river, like above the water,
mm-hmm.
and you slipped. There was spiders right there, and I have such a terrible phobia of spiders.
Uh-huh.
That as soon as I glanced, like, I stumbled back.
Yeah. And so you saw the spiders that I was by, and you stumbled back into the water, and then I stumbled into the water, but I stumbled a few times because it was so hard to get up the river. And we made it all the way back. I think we maybe lost one or two bones along the way.
We lost, like, three.
But I think we kept all the really good ones.
Yeah, we kept the big ones.
Yeah, so... that was our adventure the other day, and now we have a bunch of what we think may be dinosaur bones sitting on our coffee table outside.
Comment, what is it worth?
I have no idea. We got home and Harper's like, these are going to be worth millions. I'm like, no, they're probably not, honey.
They're dinosaur bones.
I know, but they're, you let me know if you can find a buyer for them for millions of dollars.
Okay, but you're going to have to, I'm going to have to get eBay on my phone.
Just kidding. We'll hold on to them. They're cool. They're neat things. Maybe we can like use them in our garden or something, or in your fairy garden or something. Kind of cool. Have some dinosaur bones in your fairy garden.
I could put them up in my treehouse as decorations. Start a bone collection.
You know, I have a story about that. In my treehouse, what I did. I did something very similar. And we'll talk about it in a little bit here on the show, okay? Remind me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, this might be a longer entry as my experience happened in an active park. I'll not be identifying any locations or using any names. I don't know if I believe in spirits, but I have just had experiences I cannot explain. I cannot say I've seen a spirit or I've had spirits reach out to me, but I'm kind of sensitive to people's emotions and the energy in the room. I used to work at a historical park where we would dress in historical clothing with recreations of a few of the old buildings, some antiques from the time in the area. The site is about a mile long. There's a gravel road that connects the parking lot visitor center to all the different buildings, info plaques, picnic area, and church of the cemetery. We would station ourselves around the site and educate and interact with visitors. In the morning, we'd drive to the site to open all the buildings. Some mornings, I'd open a specific building and be hit with a negative wave of energy as I entered the building. It's like walking into a room where people are fighting, mad, and aggressive. I'd kindly greet the former lady of the house and ask her how her night was, and tell her that we're going to have a wonderful day. I know it sounds strange, and if anyone had witnessed it, they would have thought I was crazy, but I swear it helped. The negative and the negativity and the energy. I was able to stay in the house longer. Sometimes the day started out, but the energy on the house would shift throughout the day, leaving me anxious, uncomfortable, and spending as much time as I could outside on the picnic table. This house is where most of my experiences were. Like I said, I never saw anything, but I felt and heard a lot of things. Because the site was long and on a bit of a hill, sound traveled. We could hear cars traveling on the nearby supergrid, equipment in the fields, footsteps of visitors, and the neighbor kids playing. Sometimes laughter, sometimes screaming and crying. Every now and then we hear things at this house that we cannot explain and no one else hears. I'd hear footsteps, expecting visitors that would never appear. I'd radio down to my coworkers asking where the visitors were. They would inform me that no one was in the park or walking around. We had a tennis net set up in the grass behind the houses. I'd hear children playing tennis and laughing coming from behind the house when there was no one there. I heard conversation of men coming from the cemetery. I did my best to tell myself there was a logical explanation and I just did not know what it was, but It never calmed my anxiety. There were a few events I could not explain away. There was a reading chair that I would sit in. Gave me a view of the entire house minus the two windows. I'd see the only door and staircase. The door had a pull handle with a separate deadbolt so we could lock it at night. The door was a heavy wooden door that would swell in the summer due to the heat of the humidity of the summer. You had to grab the handle with both hands and pull with it with all your might to get it open. It made a very distinct and loud noise when it was yanked open. On several occasions, I was startled from my reading or drawing to hear the door being pulled open. I'd look over to the door and it was either propped open from earlier in the day or still shut to keep the house warm. I'd watch the door as I hear it being pulled open, but it never budged. Now this house was made of logs and made a lot of noises, settling and clicking in the wind. The windows would also shutter. I learned and grew accustomed to these sounds. The stair led to the second floor, a one-room bedroom with two slide windows and a rocking chair. There was a landing, then the stairs turned 90 degrees to the left. I sat at the bottom of the stairs and could see almost all the way up. A couple times I heard footsteps going up the stairs, turn on the landing, and continue up the stairs, reach the top and walk towards the window, hear the window being forced open, then hear the creak of the rocking chair. These were not normal sounds that the house made. It was a heeled boot climbing the stairs and walking across the floor, heel to toe. The scraping swoosh of a long, heavy dress moving across the floor. I hesitantly went up the stairs and looked around, and no one was there. Nothing was out of place. I only heard this a couple times. These situations have left me wondering, is it a spirit or residual energy being discharged? Or was it an after image, like when you turn off a TV but can still see that last image? That's all I have. There's other stories, but they're not for me telling at this time. Thank you, Catherine. Thoughts?
Well, when I think of historical park, I think of the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my mind, that entire story was taking place in the battlefield.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that that's exactly where it is. It's just where...
Your context.
Yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, like... The fact that she can hear the window open and... There, and going up to the stairs and there being not a window open.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like, how do you hear that?
Well, that's what I wonder about with things like that. Like, does the window actually open? I mean, is it doing that physical action when no one is there? And then it's somehow shut again by the time that she goes and looks at it? Or is it simply just giving off the sounds of it? Opening and shutting, and it's never truly doing that, but that's the sound that's resonating throughout the house, you know?
Yeah.
That it's like when somebody says, you know, they heard footsteps and all that. You know, was there truly boots walking across the floor? Probably not, but there was something that was making that sound, making that impact on the house to vibrate the house in those ways to then produce those sounds. Sometimes people hear things breaking in another room and think, oh my gosh, this is just going to be chaos. And they go in there and there's absolutely nothing out of place, nothing wrong. How does it do it? Why is it doing that? I don't know.
Are you going to tell that story about the thing that you did in your treehouse?
Sure. So, we didn't find any bones, but we, in my treehouse, me and the neighbor's grandkids, we walked up our creek one summer day. I was about your age, and we started collecting all sorts of random junk that we found in the creek. Now, when you live way out in the country, and it's the late 80s or so, there isn't a lot of trash collection that goes on, and sometimes people take things to the dump. More often than not, people just throw shit in their backyard or into the creek or whatever. Not a good idea, not environmentally sound or good at all, but it is what people did. And after years and years and years of people doing this, things kind of get washed down the stream and they get really rusty and they get, you know, there's just bits and pieces of them left. But there was about five or six of us kids, and we went up the creek about a mile, And we found everything from an old rusty telephone receiver to an old leather belt to all sorts of random things that were in that creek. And then at the very end of that journey, we found a rolled up big old piece of carpet underneath a bridge right by Grandma and Grandpa's house. And it smelled horribly. I mean, it smelled like death. And we didn't unroll it, but our imagination went wild. And we thought, oh my gosh, there's a body in that carpet. There's a body under the bridge. So all afternoon, we go up to my treehouse with all of these artifacts that we found. And we'd put together this whole story of how the murderer killed the person that's in the carpet under the bridge with all these different objects, from the belts to the telephone to whatever else we found. And eventually my dad goes down there and unrolls the carpet and there's nothing in it. But we kept all of those things, all of those objects in my treehouse, and we ended up calling the treehouse the Underwater Museum. And we had all these little objects that we had found along the creek in there. Now, I didn't have dinosaur bones. You got some pretty cool stuff. I just had other people's junk that they threw into the creek. But it was old and rusty, and, you know, when you're little, it's neat.
What I'm wondering, what made that carpet smell?
Just being in water that was downstream from several cattle farms. So I think that should answer your question right there. All the runoff from the fields, the manure, and everything else that kind of soaked into those carpets.
Yep.
But and just mildew, musty, that sort of stuff shouldn't be in water. And it just starts smelling. It starts molding and all that.
Yeah.
But it smelled horrible. The only thing, I remember how bad that thing smelled. The only thing I smelled that was as bad as that actually happened to me in the last couple of weeks when one of our pigs passed away.
Yeah.
And I had to get him out of that area because he was starting to smell. And oh my goodness, I was gagging. Thank goodness I still had some N95 face masks in the house. So I broke that out and I wore that as I tried to get him or her, I'm not sure which one it was, moved. But oh gosh, it was reminiscent of the carpet smell, but probably a little bit worse because there actually was a body I was trying to move at that moment in time.
It's a pig body.
It was. And I felt horrible for the little guy. He wasn't really little though. He was bigger than me in terms of weight. He was like 300 some pounds.
Possibly 400.
He was huge.
He was bigger than both of our heads, hands, and feet combined.
He was like, it was nuts. I don't know. I don't know what got him. I don't think anything got him in terms of any animals because he's in a confined cage. I don't know if he just got too big and
I think he just
choked on something.
I think he just got too big
and couldn't walk. Because they moved around, but they move around so like, you know, they're pigs. But
and they were huge and their little stubs of feet.
I know.
Were like freaking crayons.
They just kind of like drag themselves around. Oh, poor pig. But smell wise, it was along those lines. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Paul Rice, and this is not only a ghost story, but this is actually a love story. And the title of the story is "Did It Hurt When You Fell from Heaven?" You know, that's exactly what I said to the woman I fell in love with. And she's not here. Anyway, I live in Seattle, Washington, and I lived in a very old historic building on 4th and Jackson, historically known as the Addison on 4th. But previously, it was known as the Richmond Hotel, and it was built in the 1900s. And I met my girlfriend here in Seattle, and we fell in love. She moved in my apartment and we did it and everything was okay. And something happened in my apartment where she was burned. And yeah, she was burned. And no, exactly. It was something unusual happened. And the reason why I'm calling is because my girlfriend left me. And I have not seen this woman in 2 years. She left me. That's how bad it was in this building. There's been murders. There's been overdoses. I also have a video of a 7-year-old child who lives in my apartment building. And he specifically said that this building is haunted. But the reason why I wanted to tell this story definitely is because this is not a ghost story. This is a love story. I was in love with this woman. I was even thinking for her. We never fought. We never argued. We were in love. And also have a dog. We were just one happy family. And we were making plans to take our relationship to the next level. And something happened in this building. And she left. And I'm going to Florida to find her. And I may live stream my entire trip. One way or the other, I'm going to Florida. She's coming back with me. Or I'm coming back without her. And both going to be crying. Because I know when this woman sees me, she's going to, she's not even going to believe that I'm going to be in Florida. But I'm going to Key Largo, the last island in the Florida Keys, which is where she's at right now. She's in a homeless shelter. Yes, my girlfriend is in a homeless shelter in Key Largo, Florida. She went from living with me in an apartment building in downtown Seattle to living in a homeless shelter in the Florida Keys of Florida. That's how bad the paranormal experience was that she experienced in my apartment building.
Everyone is sitting there going, holding their breath. How do you respond to this one? Well, I would say, you know, let her know you're coming. Nobody likes surprises like that. And you know, I get, you know, you are in love with her. The other, that has to be a mutual thing though, too. So be prepared for the feelings to maybe not still be there on the other side, and be prepared to accept that, because you can't force someone to love you back if they're not, and if they are more content being away. I mean, that's quite an extreme move, all the way from Seattle to
Florida in a homeless shelter,
the bottom of the Florida Keys in a homeless shelter. There's probably more things going on here than we are aware of, than we can even tackle on this program. But all I would say is be respectful here, and don't just show up. I would say discuss this before you make a trek like that all the way down there, and see if it's something that she even wants you to do, to come down and see her.
Because maybe she left for a reason.
I'm Delilah. Love someone tonight. So, yeah, I was going to jump into like Celine Dion or something, but I'm going to pause on that. But so please do exercise caution. Be respectful of the other space and what their wishes are. And sometimes you just have to respect that and sometimes move on. That's not for me to say with any of this, but all I can say is just be a respectful individual here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Well, that was a new one. Let's go to another caller here on the program and hear hopefully a ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Michaela. I'm a Native American from Oklahoma. So I only mention that because I feel like we have a bunch of scary stories just alone in our culture. This story comes from my grandma and my mom and my aunt and a bunch of their friends. They were, just gonna kind of getting a little out of hand right now. But so where they lived in Sapulpa, Oklahoma, the road that they had to go down connected to town back in the day. And my grandma would try to leave town early leave home early so they wouldn't be stuck on the road at night. Well, this one night, they didn't leave early enough. And my grandma just had my aunt, my mom, and a group of their friends. Well, they're on their way back, walking on the road, and they make it like halfway down, and it gets dark. Well, on the road that they're walking on, there's a railroad track right next to it. When they're walking, they keep hearing something on the track next to them, footsteps, leaves rustling. My grandma just tells them, keep walking, don't pay attention to it, and don't be scared. Well, it keeps continuing, and some of my mom's friends get scared. One of them actually pees himself because they get so scared. My grandma keeps telling them, you know, don't listen to it. Don't look over there. Just ignore it. Just don't be scared. They keep walking, and out of nowhere, they hear my grandma kind of gasp, like, and they turn around and look at her. She's like, oh, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Just keep walking. They get home, and they don't think anything of it. Well, a couple of days later, my aunt asked her, hey, why'd you make that noise? My grandma said that when they were walking, she kept hearing something on the railroad track, and she didn't take her own advice, and she looked over at the railroad track, and there was a break in the trees to where she could see something standing on the railroad track, and whatever was standing there had horns, and it was watching them. I had to drive down that road to get to school and to get home, and let me tell you, even during the day, that road was so creepy. But anyway, sorry I'm not a really good storyteller, but I have plenty of stories. I actually do tell my stories on my TikTok, but I will call in and tell many more. Thank you. I enjoy your podcast.
Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. Number one, I find something inherently creepy about railroad tracks. And I don't know why, but I've always, I have this like love fascination with railroad tracks. I've always wanted to walk down them. I've always loved like abandoned railroad track lines.
I've always loved abandoned towns that have railroad,
tracks. Are we having an 8-year-old moment here?
Railroad tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
That literally like lead to an abandoned town.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just find arrowheads.
That would be cool.
That actually happened to us one time.
Those weren't abandoned tracks, though. Those were active tracks.
Oh.
But
we did find arrowheads.
We did. We did at the time. I wasn't allowed to pick them up, though. But we won't go into that. The idea, I mean, it's incredibly dangerous. I'm not in any way encouraging anyone to walk down railroad tracks. Number one, it's illegal. But I always was fascinated when I was a kid. There was an abandoned rail line really close to my grandma's house. And it was, now it's fully, they paved it. It's a fully functional walking track. Back then it was kind of grown over and four wheelers would go down it. And you were kind of at the mercy of that to walk it. But it was so neat to walk it because there'd be the old rails down there and all sorts of sometimes wheels and parts of trains. And it was just neat and creepy. And I've always found it very fascinating I think just something about giant old machinery, whether it be an old, you know, locomotion engine or an old ship. Those sort of things are just, there's such a creepiness to them, but in a cool way. So the idea of something with horns standing a distant line down those railroad tracks, kind of in the dusk, that's the perfect creepy sight for you.
That's something I would do one glance at it and then just run.
Then you're done? Yeah.
I'm done. Like, just, I'm running.
Just completely out of there?
Yep, like.
There was a place when I was a kid, my mom used to go and make wreaths and stuff like that and go sell them at like craft shows. And there was an area where she would go and get some specific wildflowers that were growing along a railroad track. And we'd park the car and then she'd go and clip her flowers. And I'd say, can I walk down the tracks a little bit? And she just down to that, just to that tree right over there. And I don't blame her. I mean, I was a little kid. You don't want your kid wandering down railroad tracks. But I wanted to go. But I walked down the little ways that she let me go. And probably a little bit further.
Just a little bit.
And then, then I start getting yelled at. But I get it. I'm a parent. I would do the same thing. And I remember, it's amazing what people will take down railroad tracks and dump them. And dump. Or at least they used to. And it was always amazing to me how large of appliances people were able to get down the railroad tracks to dump into like the woods. Because number one, railroad tracks, it's bumpy. It's not like conducive for like pulling a wheelbarrow or anything on it. It's not an easy place. But I was always amazed because I go down the tracks like half a mile and then there'd be like all these old giant heavy television sets thrown off onto the side, and there'd be like a washer over here and a dryer over there, and this like, who is doing this? Who is hauling these random objects out into the middle of nowhere to dispose of them? I mean, the amount of work it would take to get these objects from point A to point B, I think it'd be less work just to find a legal way of disposing them, because I'm amazed by this sometimes of what people will drag to get something hidden when it's not necessarily like a real object that needs to be hidden. Like, it's just an old TV. It's an old washer, an old truck. Why are we doing this? But it's amazing what you find down the tracks.
You never know when you're going to find a horned something.
Or a horned beast.
Or something that's about to chase you down the railroad track.
Down the railroad tracks as well, exactly.
I hate it when that happens.
You got to be careful. That's why we don't go playing on railroad tracks, kids.
Yep.
It's a lesson of today. All right, that's going to wrap up the show. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.